Open now your Bibles, please, to the book of Job, the 8th chapter, Job chapter 8, the book just before the Psalms, and in your Scofield Bible, page 574. We'll begin with verse 7, read through verse 14, with special emphasis upon the 11th verse, the text verse. We'll read these verses responsively, please. Job chapter 8, verses 7 through 14. May we stand, as is our custom to do. Let's all stand for the reading of this passage. Though thy beginning was small, yet thy latter end shall be greatly increase, or should greatly increase. For inquire, I pray thee, of the former age, and prepare thyself to the search of their fathers. For we are but of yesterday and know nothing, because our days upon earth are a shadow. Shall not they teach thee and tell thee and utter words out of their heart? Can the rush grow up without mire? Can the flag grow without water? Whilst it is yet in his greenness and not cut down, it withereth before any other herb. So are the paths of all that forget God, and the hypocrite's hope shall perish, whose hope shall be cut off, and whose trust shall be a spider's web. And let's pray. Father, it's a privilege that we don't even understand for us to be here in this place tonight. Thank you for it. Help us to have enough appreciation in our hearts tonight for all that you do for us, the way that you care about us and love us, to listen and to open our hearts to your word. And so help our preacher and each listener in Jesus' name. Amen.
Our Heavenly Father, we thank thee that thou hast brought us again to this place and to this time. The day will come when each of us will be gone and others will fill our shoes. And so may we, while we have this blessed privilege, savor every experience and every moment of it. Give us what we have need of tonight, so we may give others that for which they have need. In Jesus' name, amen. My text tonight is this. Can the rush or the bulrush grow up without mire? This was the plant from which was made the ark that cradled baby Moses and also cradled the Egyptian kingdom in the Nile. I want to speak tonight on that subject. Can the rush grow up without the mire? I want you to listen. I want you to hang on every word I say. I want to speak tonight to everybody, but especially I want to speak to the unemployed. I want to speak to that army of men in this room tonight whose pride has been pricked and whose joy has been dampened and whose heart has been broken because you lost the job through which, by which, and with which you provided for those dearest and nearest to you. I want to speak tonight to everybody, but especially I want to speak to that army of people in this room who are ill. There are folks tonight in this room who are seriously ill. And you sit here tonight casually wondering when the service will end so you can get to McDonald's or Burger King or White Castle or go home and go to bed. But there are those tonight who came and said, thank God, I get to come at least one more time. Those whose sun appears to be setting. Those who seem to be close to the pearly gates. I want to talk to you tonight. I want to speak to everybody tonight, but I want to speak especially to those who have perennial illness. Your illness is not going to kill you. It's just going to make you suffer, suffer, and suffer. There are folks all over this room tonight who will go to the grave with an illness that causes them to suffer all the time. I want to speak to everybody tonight, but I want to speak especially to the widows. That great army of ladies in this church, for whom I thank God, who have no one to pay the bills, nobody to take care of the needs. You have to be the mother and the father, the man and the woman. You have not only to take care of the needs of the wife and the mother, but you have to make the house payment and pay the utility bills. Somehow keep all the ends together. I'd like to speak to everybody tonight, but I'd like to speak mainly to those who are orphans. There are many in this room tonight who do not know where their parents are. There are many children and young people in this room tonight who've never seen to know in their childhood their dads. There are folks all over this room tonight who would not know their dads if they saw them on the street. They wonder where they are. And somehow before they die, they'd like to be able to look in the man, in the face of the man, whom they could call Daddy. I'd like to speak to all of our folks tonight, but I'd like to speak especially to the mission men, those men that sit in the corner of our church who have found home to be a rescue mission. A living room and a bedroom is all the same. It's a cot in a barracks. I'd like to speak tonight to everybody here, but I'd like to speak especially to the servicemen, those fellows whose thoughts turn toward home tonight. You wonder what Mom and Dad are doing, and you wonder especially what your girlfriend is doing. I'd like to speak to everybody tonight, but I'd like to speak mainly, especially, to those who are blind, those whose world is darkness, those who've never seen the beauty of this building, those who've never seen the loveliness of a sunrise. For that matter, Dr. Evans has never seen the loveliness of a sunrise. He thinks the sun comes up all of a sudden about 8 o'clock in the morning. But I talked to those blind people who've never been awed by daffodil or never seen the loveliness of a rose, or never seen the beauty of a sunset, or the magnificence and awe of a mountain range. I'd like to talk to everybody tonight. I'd like to talk especially to those who are deaf, those several hundred people in our church who've never heard the choir, who've never heard the voice of this preacher, who've never heard a beautiful organ offertory or piano prelude. They've never heard the Hallelujah Chorus. They've never heard a voice say, I love you. They've never heard a good morning, or how are you today, or it's a beautiful day. I'd like to talk to everybody tonight. I'd like to talk mainly to those whose children are retarded, those precious parents who find it difficult to laugh when we kid about somebody being retarded, because they're kind and gracious, They understand and they accept the levity. It's not funny to them. Their laughter is external only. They wonder how it happened, why it happened. I'd like to talk to you tonight. I'd like to speak to everybody tonight, but I'd like to speak especially to that great army of women in this room who are rearing their children alone, mother and dad. I'd like to talk especially tonight to those whose wives have left. Probably a dozen men in this room tonight. I'd like to talk especially to you. I want to speak to everybody tonight, but I'd like to talk tonight to those little bus kids. That army of young people to whom your house or your apartment would be luxury. One little boy looked in my office and said to his little bus friend, "Golly, look in there. That must be the heaven they're talking about." That little army of young people who've never walked on a carpet except at church or school. Little army of young people who've never had McDonald's cheese quarter pounder. Little army of young people who, just to have a mommy to call their own or a daddy to call their own, would be the happiest moment of their lives. They rub shoulders and elbows with us. We glibly see them and get in our air-conditioned cars and drive to our carpeted apartments or houses, not realizing the dungeons to which many of our bus kids return after the service. I want to talk tonight to everybody, but I want to talk especially to the children being reared by mothers. You wonder why you can't have a new dress for the Valentine's banquet. And you wonder why your daddy can't be an usher or a deacon or sing in the choir. You wonder why it is that your lot in life has had to be to wear the same dress to school. You wonder why, while others have new school clothes, you never have new school clothes. I want to talk to you tonight. I want to talk to everybody tonight. But I want to talk to those, especially to those college girls who cannot see their way through college this year. Every month is the end of the road. Every month is an impossibility. Every time of payment is due, a crisis comes. I'd like to speak to, especially to you young ladies tonight. I want to speak to everybody tonight. I'd like to speak especially to those who clean the tables in the dining halls of the college, and those who scrub the floors and the woodwork, those who mop, wash dishes, and serve at the steam table. I want to talk to everybody tonight, but I want to talk especially to those dear senior citizens, those who oftentimes are lonely and forgotten. Your lips are not as attractive as they once were, nor as inviting to the one whom you'd love to kiss you again. Your brow is not as smooth as it was, but it's furrowed with the footprints of time. Your face is not as, your complexion is not as lovely as it once was. Avon has done all it can do. Oil of Olay has been rendered impotent. And even the caulking machine has failed to cause your complexion to regain its former loveliness. Those of you whose backs are drooped and hands are palsied and whose feet are unsure and whose steps bring pain. I want to talk to everybody tonight, but I want to talk to those tonight, that great army of people, by the way, I've covered nearly everybody in this room in the last 10 minutes. Nearly everybody in this room. One fella came to pastor school. We had the church with the heart. We paraded across the Spanish people. And then paraded across the deaf. And then came the blind. And then came
retarded children. And then came the bus kids. And then came the retarded teenagers and adults. And then came the E-Sunday school. And then came other groups. One pastor walked up and he said, "Don't you have anybody around here who's normal?" We don't know what normal is. But I'll tell you what normal is. Normal, there's one meeting ground for all of us have a common denominator. And that is we're all objects of the love of God. The rich and the poor meet together at Calvary. The rush was one of the most important Egyptian plants. From the rush or the bulrush came paper. In fact, 2 John was written, we know, on this paper we call papyrus. It came from this tall plant, 10, 12, 13 feet tall. Had a strange little top to it, and the stem was shaped like a triangle. And on the top is a certain substance from whence they made paper. From it came boats made to give safety from the storm and to give travel to those who needed to be conveyed from one place to another. From the rush came the Ark of Moses. It was made of bulrushes, and it was placed in the bulrushes of the Nile River. From the rush came shoes, perhaps the shoes that the Israelites wore in the wilderness that grew as their feet grew. Perhaps some of those were made from rushes. From the rush came ropes that would be used for all kinds of purposes, for seafaring people and others. One of the most used of all Egyptian plants was the rush. Yet the only kind that could be used, the only kind of rush that could be used for shoes, or used for boats, or used for ropes, or used for paper, was the rush that was grown in the mire. Only kind. Were there no mire, the rush was rendered helpless and useless. It would not grow tall enough to be used unless it had grown in the mire. It was likened to a Christian, as Job was in the mire. Job was in the mire of bereavement. His children, all 10 of them, had been taken by the grim reaper. Job was in the mire of ill health, as the disease, a form of leprosy called elephantiasis, had gripped his body. Job was in the mire of poverty, and he had come from the heights of wealth to the mire of poverty in one great catastrophic work of God. Job was in the mire of loneliness. His wife forsook him. His friends forsook him. He was alone. And in the mire, one came to Job and said these words, "Can the rush grow up without the mire? Were there no mire for the rush, shoes could not cover the feet of the Egyptian people. Were there no mire for the rush, boats could not transport them across the river or across the sea. Were there no mire, no ark of bulrushes could have been made for baby Moses. Were there no mire, no ropes could be made to which people could hold for safety. Only the mire could give the rush what it needed. And without the mire, the rush was of no use to anybody." Now, it was likened to a child of God. God wants to use us. But God can only use us. Did you hear me? God can only use us if we grow in the mire. A Christian who grows always on the tropics, will not be much use to anybody. God doesn't use people unless they grow in the mire. The child of God who's never been in the mire, I mean the mud, I mean the quicksand-like mud. The child of God who's never been in the mire hardly ever amounts to anything or is able to bless anybody else. You see, unless you've been in the mire, you don't understand anybody who's now in the mire. Unless you've been in the mire, you cannot help people. You don't want to help people who are in the mire. You just go your own way, buying your new clothes, driving your nice cars, living your nice homes with no thought of anybody else. Never share. Why? You don't know the pain of a lonely night. You don't know the hunger for somebody to call daddy. You don't know the poverty and the loneliness of wondering where my daddy is tonight. You don't know what it's like to have a son or a daughter who's now 10 or 12 years old with the mind of a 2-year-old child. You don't know what it's like to wonder if you'll wake up tomorrow morning or if somehow that illness will take you. You don't understand what it is to walk beside a hospital room. Inside that room is a little bed or a crib where blood of your blood and bone of your bone and flesh of your flesh lies. You don't understand what it means to be in the mire. Ladies and gentlemen, let me serve notice to you. There's not a single child of God who'll ever amount to anything for God unless sometime in his life he's grown in the mire. Can the rush grow up without the mire? Can the Christian grow up without the mire? God can only use us if we grow in the mire. Those of us who never see the mire are most unfortunate people. Occasionally somebody says to me, Brother Howes, don't you feel sorry for those college students who have to work so hard to make ends meet, have to pray and pray every month? No, I don't feel sorry for them. I feel sorry for those college students who've never spent one night in the mire. Somebody said, don't you feel sorry for these young people who have to work and give their money to their moms and dads to help ends meet and make ends meet? And I don't feel sorry for them. I feel sorry for those students that all they, young people, all they know is gimme, 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 loaf, 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 play, 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 laugh, 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 laugh. I feel sorry for anybody who's never known what it's like to live in the mire. And I want to tell you something tonight. If tonight you're in the mire, and most of you are in the mire tonight, if tonight you're in the mire, don't you rebel. And by the way, don't you try to transplant yourself to some other place either. You just keep on and staying right there in the mire, and you say, thank God, God's going to use me someday. I'm going to grow in grace because I am in the mire. Can the rush grow without the mire? Can the rush grow without the mire? I'll guarantee you, if you'll review your life, it was in the mire where you grew. It isn't pleasant, but it is necessary for later pleasantness. And if you are not in the mire at first, you will be in the mire at the last. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Doesn't say they that sow in tears may reap in joy. It says they shall reap in joy. And he who knows the mire, and he who's grown in the mire, he who knows the lonely hours of being in the mire, she who knows the poverty of being in the mire, only those who've been in the mire will ever rise a great service for our God. Job was in the mire. He was reminded why. You know, one reason we have a book named Job is because a fellow was one time in the mire. We wouldn't have a book named Job if Job hadn't been in the mire. Listen, there was nothing written about Job because he was the richest man in the whole world. There was nothing written about Job because he was a respected man in his land. There's nothing written about Job until Job got in the mire. Listen, the mire reveals what you are. And the mire will make you what you ought to be. And the very reason that we read tonight in the book of Job, Brother John, is because Job was one time in the mire. And if you're in the mire tonight, stand up, hold your shoulders back, throw your chest out, throw your chin in. Let a smile go across your face and say, thank God I'm growing because I'm in the mire. Can the rush grow up without the mire? Can the rush grow up without the mire? The patience of Job is an example to all of us. But we would never have known Job. Now, Job was patient before he was in the mire. But his patience would not have been revealed to us. Nor would we ever have known of the patience of Job. Nor would Job have ever been an example of patience to all those who would follow had it not been for the fact that Job was in the mire. This week, two families have come to me for counseling. There are two families in this room tonight who will return home to a dark house. No electricity, no wall plugs working with which to plug in a fan. No air-conditioned air to cross their body through the night. No electric appliances can be used. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that means no, in many cases, that means no washing machine. That means no dryer. In some cases, that means no heat when it gets cool. There are folks in this room tonight, I know they're here, who could not pay the... And by the way, I'm not talking about loafers that want to stay at home and eat ham sandwiches and big steaks on welfare and food stamps because they're too lazy to work and because they won't take a job unless the job pays what they ought to pay. And they stay home and let you and I feed their fat, overgrown bodies and let them have their illegitimate children. I'm not talking about that crowd. I'm talking about citizens who are honest and hardworking, who lost their jobs and who are up against the wall tonight. They're in the mire. They're here. I talked to a teenager this week, working 5 hours a day after school and 6 hours on Saturday. That teenager takes all of his money and gives it to mom and dad because dad has no work, except dad has gotten him a lawnmower. And a man who has grown children, a lawnmower, and walking up and down the streets asking folks he can mow their yard. I want to tell you something. I respect that man more than I respect some of you people that never take time to feel sorry for anybody and look down on people that are beneath you. In fact, there's nobody beneath you if that's what you are. You're about as low as you can get. I'm talking about that high school graduate, that lovely young lady sat in my office the other night, and she... other day, and she wants to go to Hiles Anderson College, but she can't go. She's a graduate, Hammond Baptist High School, but Dad has no job. Mom has no job. Both would love to have jobs. But the young lady has a job, and she can't go to college this fall. Why? Because every dime she makes at her job, she takes every dime of it and takes it to Dad and says, here it is. Listen, I saw a smile on that young lady's face I seldom see on some of you folks that are spoiled rotten. Some of us folks are spoiled rotten. I travel this country. Our Hiles Anderson College graduates are cover this country like a blanket. And our graduates who are doing the best jobs all over this country, without exception, are those who lived in the mire while they were in Hiles Anderson College. The greatest Christians in this room are not those that are growing in tropic bliss, but those that are growing in the mess of the mire. You grow in grace when you're in the mire. You become usable when you're in the mire. Listen, no rush could make a pair of shoes unless it was growing up or grew up in the mire. And no rush was made to build a boat unless it grew up in the mire. And no rush was made into a rope unless it grew up in the mire. Can the rush grow up without the mire? Those who have and who share the most in this room tonight. I mean the Russell Andersons, for example, who live a life of sharing. Russell Anderson lives a life of sharing because Russell Anderson knows what it is, what it's like to get up in the morning and go to the coal mines of Kentucky and spend all day down in the mines of Kentucky and breathe that coal suck. He knows what it's like. He's been in the mire. I want to tell you something. If you want to pity anybody, you pity folks who have never known the mire. You pity people that have never had the luxury of no luxury, and never had the wealth of poverty, and never had the height of depths, and never had the goodness of the mire, and who have never had the laughter of weeping, and the joy of sorrow, and the strength of weakness. You pity those who've never come to a wall and had to pray their way through. You pity those who've never had to take. Philippians 4:13, Philippians 4:19, Matthew 6:33, and squeeze them till every drop of faith's been squeezed out. And God has once again answered prayer. You pity those who've never known what it is to sing, my Lord knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. Don't you shrink from the mire. Don't you complain about the mire. Don't you feel bad about the mire. You're growing in the mire. And God tells us here that just as the rush could not grow without the mire, even so the child of God's growth is from mire to mire. It's from depth to depth and not height to height. It's from crisis to crisis. It's from poverty to poverty. It's from low spot to low spot. It's from valley to valley. It's from midnight to midnight. It's from shadows to shadows. The greatest contributions made to all of us were made by those who were in the mire when they made those contributions. Most of the New Testament was written by men who were in the mire when they wrote them. Most of the songs in your songbook were written from the mire. Most of the great churches were built by men who've been in the mire. Most of our great preachers have had their training in the mire. Most of our great literature, even secular, was written from the mire. We wouldn't have had Philippians had not Paul been in the mire. We wouldn't have had Pilgrim's Progress had not John Bunyan been in the mire. We wouldn't have had the Spurgeon's Tabernacle had not Spurgeon known the mire. We wouldn't have had the great Highland Park Baptist Church in Lee Robertson had he not known the mire. I'm saying that every great institution, secular and sacred, that's ever been built has been built by those who've had their training in the mire. Can the rush grow up without the mire? Not a nice place to be is the mire, but a place you must be if you grow. Would you be a boat to carry folks through the storm? Then you're going to have to be trained in the mire. Would you be a paper on which truth can be conveyed? You'll have to be trained in the mire. Would you be a rope to which the falling can hold? You'll have to be trained in the mire. Would you be shoes to cover cold feet and convey them to the destination? You'll have to be trained in the mire. Yet, when the mire comes, we want to get transplanted.
I want to move out of the mire. I like the mountains better. I can't find a job. I want to move where there are jobs. I want to move out of the mire. I don't like the climate up here in this area. I want to move to the mire.
They come to my office like a mighty army, marching, 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 with their backslidden feet and their faithless hearts and their stuttering tongues and their doubting minds.
I want to leave the mire. I just never have liked the mire.
Well, bless your little cotton-picking heart, nobody ever likes the mire. But bless your little pea-picking heart, everybody needs the mire. And you'll make the mistake of your life. I said the mistake of your life. I said the mistake of your life. I said the mistake of your life. If you transplant yourself and get yourself out of the mire. College wives, tired of sacrifice. And God knows I pity and feel sorry for you. But I want you to know, young ladies, you don't know this, but you're growing in the mire. You give up. Go back home. Leave your husband. I don't want it. And young people in this room tonight, there are young, this Hammond Baptist High School students tonight in this room who have one great desire in life, and that is to make money. And that's as wicked as a red light district is. You have no right to have a desire to make money. God didn't put you here to collect paper and put it in a ball. God didn't put you here to collect coins and put them in a safety deposit box. God put you here to do His will. You haven't got the guts to live in the mire. You haven't got the courage to take the mire. You haven't got what it takes to live in the mire. You don't want the mire. You'd rather live in on the mountaintop without God than in the valley with God. But I want to serve notice to you. Our God in the Bible never appeared to people on mountaintops. Our God appeared to Stephen when he was stoned outside the city walls of Jerusalem. Our God appeared to Paul when he was stoned to death outside the city of Lystra. Our God appeared to the Hebrew children while they're in the fiery furnace. Our God appeared to Moses while he was on the backside of the desert. Our God appeared to Joshua while he was facing the battle and the enemy of conquering a heathen land. And our God always appears in the mire. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you will find him. And you'll know him by the nail prints in his hands. The shadows. The mire. That's where you find God. I didn't bother you. Just give me the easy place. My goal is to have a nice car and a horse out in the have an acre of ground somewhere and a little garden. That's, now listen, nothing wrong with that if the will of God takes you there. But brother, your goal ought to be for the grace of God. God has a plan for me. And if that plan is poverty or riches, I want that plan. If that plan is health or illness, I want that plan. If that plan is fame or being anonymous, I want that plan. When the mire comes, I'm tired of the mire. I'm not going to be married to a mire dweller. I want to move out of the mire. I want to go down south. I don't like this northern mire. I want to be employed in the mire. Fully on God. That's what, you don't say that. That's what you believe. Fully on God. Fully on His. Hey! Everybody knows the will of God just for preachers. Everybody knows that. Everybody knows that preacher's supposed to be in the will of God. Everybody knows that. Listen, there's not a person in this house tonight but what would lose confidence in me if I stood up tonight and said, folks, I'm resigning this church. And you say, why? And I said, I'm tired of this area. I'm tired of the set. Tired of the area. I want to go. I got a call to West Palm Beach, Florida. Or Hawaii. Southern California. And not only that, folks, I'm a little tired of making the salary here. I've got a place that'll pay me five times as much as I make here. And I'm going to go because I feel like I've got to support my family as best I can. And I'm tired of this area. There's not a single person in this room tonight who would have enough confidence in me to come back to me and preach another sermon. And brother, if that's your attitude, listen, you have no more right to think like that than I do. None. None. Flee the mire. Run to the mire. You just go ahead. But I'll guarantee you one thing, spiritually you'll never know a day's growth. And you'll never be able to do much for mankind. And when you die, you won't leave anything but a few pieces of paper tucked away in a safety deposit box for the folks that follow you to fight over as they forget who you were. But I want to tell you something, folks. When Dr. Jack Hiles departs this earth, he's going to leave a hole somewhere, and I'll guarantee you. Why? Because I am the only person in the world that can do what God chose me to do. Just wait, little college wife. Stuck in the mire tonight. Your day is coming. Just wait, little work scholarship girl. That day is going to come when you'll rise above the quitters. You just wait, young lady in high school. The prettiest plants always grow in the mire. And by the way, young ladies, the kind of beauty you get in the mire doesn't leave when you get old. I mean, Avon calls outside the mire. Avon never goes to the mire to call. Folks in the mire can't afford all of Olay. Folks in the mire, sometimes they can't afford the decoration that some of you people have with your clothing. They can't afford the mire. They have no beauty shops in the mire. I want to tell you something. Little lady, you just go right ahead. And you let these little dolls flit around the cottage. These little precious girls, that they're beauty queens. They haven't got any more beauty than you have. They just got more paint than you got, more goo than you got, that's all. And they got more decorations than you've got. But I'll guarantee you, you let these little girls flit around the cottage with their laziness. Little girls, they look down on the mire. Fellas, the first place, if I was looking for a wife, I'd look in the mire for one. Young lady, you just wait. One day, you'll rise above the quitters. You just wait, young lady in high school. You just wait, dear school teacher. Having to live on pauper's wages. You just wait. And by the way, teachers, my heart goes out to you, and you know that. But don't you feel sorry for yourself. It's not becoming to you. You let others feel sorry for you. Don't you feel cheated? Listen, that crowd that is striking over here in Chicago, that's not a happy crowd. Why? And I want to, what they're saying is, We don't want the mire. We don't want the mire. We don't want the mire. And that's why they'll never mount anything. Brother, those little school teachers that gave themselves in one-room schools, holding little blueback spellers that trained many of us while we were young and taught us English and history and math and gave their lives to young people, teaching them character and decency and honor and integrity. I'll tell you something, buddy. They're the ones that have grown above the others. And that's what's wrong with this country tonight. Nobody wants the mire. Black folks say we're tired of the mire. Listen. Brown folks say we're tired of the mire. Women say, we're tired of the mire. Chicanos say, we're tired of the mire. Bless God, there's more happiness in the mire than there is in the flower garden. There's only growth in the mire. You just wait, little orphan child. You just wait, little widow. You just wait, little poor teenager. You just wait, young man, wishing you could provide the best for your lovely wife. You just wait. Stay in the mire. Someday, you can be a lovely boat used by God to transport people to the destination, provide safety to seafaring people from the storms of the sea. You just wait. Someday, you'll rise from the mire, as all rushes did and do, to be an ark to house a Moses who can deliver the nation that you could not deliver. You just wait. Someday you can be shoes to cover cold feet and a blessing to somebody. You just wait. Someday you can be paper with which a great message may be carried. You just wait. Someday you'll be a rope to which the falling can cling. You stay in the mire. Don't transplant yourself. Don't try to get out of it. You stay where God's put you. And one day, it may be on this earth, it may be in another world, but it matters not. You'll be grown and usable and useful because you grew in the mire. One thing and I'm through. You only see the end of successful people. One of the sad things about successful people is you only see them when they're successful. They're not obvious when they're preparing for success. You just see the great Dr. Lee Robertson and say, I'd like to be like that someday. But you don't see the early years. You don't see the mire years. And all of that. You only see in successful people the parts that are above the surface. That's all you see. Tonight, as you sit here, and I'm not counting myself successful, but as you sit here tonight, all you see of Jack Hiles is what's above the surface. You just see the public part. You don't see the tears. And you don't see the heartbreak. You don't see that. I don't want you to see it. But I want to serve notice on something. Brother, if you ever know the great feeling of success, you're going to have to know the pain of the mire. All across America tonight, there are businesses that are successful. Some man started on a shoestring and worked in the mire. He knows poverty. He knows hunger pains. He knows the feeling of loneliness. He knows the coldness of poverty. But he worked, sacrificed, did without, wept, stayed awake at night, labored, toiled. And then he became successful, and you saw him then. You didn't see him till then. Now his name's on the business. And you say, I'd like to be like that. No, what you mean is you'd like to have what he has. But you hear me well. You will never get what he has until you get educated in Meyer University. University of Meyer. Nobody ever grows except they grow in the mire. Now, wait a minute. The man dies. Hear me now. I'm almost through, so hear me. The man dies. His heirs gather round
and lick their chops.
Buddy, I want to be poor so when I die, if anybody cries, it's me they miss. What happens? These sons who had new cars at 16, Hondas at 17, which is the biggest mistake you'd ever make in your life. Never spent a day in the mire, because Dad says, I just want to see to it my son doesn't have to go through what I went through. Well, bless God, if he doesn't take your journey, he won't end up where you ended up. What do they do? They inherit the business. What do they do? The dad that never took a vacation is gone. What does the son do? Once a week, he's in the Caribbean. Once a month, he's in the Caribbean. Or he's in Hawaii. Or he's deep sea fishing in Acapulco. What is it? He who's never seen the mire took over the business built by him who grew in the mire, and he's never grown, and he's not big enough to keep it going, and the business goes bankrupt. Why? One reason. He never was in the mire. He never was in the mire. And so tonight, if you're in the mire, quit your complaining. It's not becoming. You're growing. Did your mom ever say to you, son, you know what you got? You got growing good feelings. No, it's growing what? Pains. Little tooth comes through a child's gums. There's fever. A baby's born. There's labor. And anything that's worthwhile is made worthwhile. Because somebody gracefully and graciously stayed in the mire. I never have been a bull rush. I've been a rushing bull many times. But I've never been a bull rush. But I think I know how a little bull rush felt. It looked and saw the tropical plants and said, boy, I'd like to go there. But what tropical plant ever made a boat? What tropical plant ever made a pair of shoes? And I'm sure the bull rush looked across the field many times and said, well, I wish I was over there. I'd like to be down beside the Nile in that well-watered place down there, the irrigated place. I'd like to be one of those plants down there. But the old bull rush just stayed right there. And then one day, somebody came by, chopped it down, and the bull rush became a shiny pair of shoes. And as it walked by a little tropical flower whose petals are wilting, little flower said, I'd like to be a pair of shoes. And the bulrush said, eat your heart out. Our Father, bless the message. May we never forget it.